Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Consciousness Shift. I'm Gwendolyn Berry, and with me in New York City is Nicole Tomasini. We have a show of discussion for you tonight before we get into... Hi, Nick.
Hi, Gwen. Hi, everyone.
Before we get into it, let's lead you into the evening with just a little bit of something blue from the past. Something from yesteryear.
Perfect for the day after a full moon.
Paul Myriad. That song, that record, and MacArthur's Park were two records I swiped from my mother.
Nice.
She swiped Son of Schmilson from me by Harry Nilsson, though.
Well.
You remember that one? That was the one where he's saying, "You're breaking my heart, you're tearing it apart, so fuck you." If she can rip that off from me, I can rip that. And you know, the MacArthur's Park was a red vinyl record. It was a clear red vinyl.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's a little pieces of... yesteryear. Anyway, how's your week been, Nicole?
My week has been pretty good. I've talked to a lot of people that are having some energy challenges, I guess I'd say.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, people who are usually, you know, real high on energy have felt like it's a little low in the last few days. So,
well, that's, you know, I've been paying attention to, basically paying attention to the astrological influences and what the channelers are saying, the ones that I've found some value in, and I always get that, you know, confirmational value from. And I was telling you just before on the show, the next two shows we have. Our next week we'll have Joni Ross, the astrologer, and also Vila Spiderhawk's going to come and visit us and talk about her new book.
Nice.
With vegetarian cooking. And then the week after that, we have Cliff Saunterine. He's going to talk about permaculture and the sacredness of the environment from the perspective of the scientist and the engineer. So we've got some nice guests coming up. Tonight is you and me. And
yeah.
And this blog where I go and get information, really wonderful stuff that addresses just that, the energy fluctuations since 12/21/12, since the breakthrough, the patina got broken. It's almost as if we've lost our cosmic virginity.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
and this lady who writes the Transitions blog, it's called Transitions, and you can find it online at Denise LeFay, and that's LeFay, deniselefay.wordpress.com. She's a channel, and she's also someone who penetrates through her dream time, and she just accesses the information. And I guess it was Vicky Santel that turned me on to her, and she's just really, really good. And I know a lot of our friends post her information and stuff, but she began the post before last. She's saying that we're in this sort of a pregnancy phase of birthing into the new age. And this is our first trimester. The end of the first trimester was the equinox, which was about 8 days ago. And I thought I'd share some of this information. What do you think?
Yeah, please.
Well, the expiration date on the shift point was, you know, 12/21/12. And I'm going to paraphrase her a little bit and then read directly. So, but this is all Denise LeFay's information, folks. And it's really some good stuff. It's starting from the newer high-frequency blueprint energies into this dimension, which obviously means much of humanity's consciousness. And these new energies are ones that have not been present on the old low-frequency Earth world and reality that we all incarnated into. So this is a time of great improvements, and it's finally beginning in this dimension 8 days ago. And, of course, when anything shifts that way, and this is Gwen speaking, you know, you got to get a bada-bing, bada-boom kind of thing going
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming into a full contact with these new higher frequency energies is, it's done, it's finished, we're there, we really are, we just have to recognize it. And I really understand what she's saying. There are people walking around, you know, that have gone through this incredible, like, feeling of what do you call that, schizophrenia, because all of a sudden they think completely opposite of the way they used to. I can relate. Suddenly I feel all the way different from a different, you know. There's no, and I think you could probably relate to some of our conversations, because there's no safe places anymore that you can sit and dwell in your old stuff, because if you are not working on shifting your consciousness, then the person you trust or your friend or your partner is going to be working it for you or goading you into it.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you turn for, friendship or guidance or help, that's where mm-hmm. you're going to find the reflection that you need, too. It's kind of really on mm-hmm. target. People are finding that. Go ahead.
It's definitely I can relate to the schizophrenic thing. I can see where there would be a scale to it, depending on, like you said, how much you are learning to work with yourself and where your timing is aligned with your what the plan is that you put with your higher self, right? So there's definitely this feeling of being something of someone else from the person that you were before and learning how to work with that. I guess that's and allowing that old self and those old things to fall away and realize that those things don't define you, and then who are you without those things? I think that's probably a lot of why the schizophrenic feeling comes.
Well, you know, the lower frequency is mostly about duality consciousness, right, wrong, bad, good.
Mm-hmm.
And what's energetically now grounding itself in this dimension is a unity consciousness, or what Ms. LaFay is actually calling the high heart or triality consciousness, a new blueprint of energies, instead of duality consciousness. Again, this is an ongoing shifting process, and anyone will individually live and learn about at their own pace.
Duality of self, too, you know, what you've been doing, what you want to be doing, what your lower self has been doing, what your higher self is guiding you towards doing, and bringing all of that together.
Yes, and that's big, because the old duality and new duality have an alignment there, because it's the conscious self and it's the higher self, the soul. What we are experiencing now is unity consciousness, or really that planetary consciousness. This is a group activity, or what she's calling triality consciousness, which is kind of cool. And I get where she's going with that. In other words, we're tapping into our highest self is helping us to tap into the more, the Akashic. Okay, let's just put it there. The Akashic, and while we're using it in a very dynamic way, like what we're doing right now with this radio show and over the technological tools that we're using that give us a planetary consciousness, there is also the subtle tap in, which she's calling this triality, which is allowing us now to actually and. Whether, you know, this consciousness, when is it going to be apparent? It's just recognizing it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also saying this is a birthing time. And the first trimester recap would be from, you know, winter solstice to the equinox. And that would have been the first trimester. And I'm scrolling down here. This is really very interesting. She said that she reasons that on winter solstice, there was, you remember that 3-day period we went through on solstice and the 22nd and 23rd, that everybody was speaking about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Mayan fellow, and everyone spoke about these 3 days. Well, from her perspective, what we were going through on another level of awareness was a life review with our divine consciousness or higher self. And at some point in those 3 days, we did what we normally do when we physically die and leave our bodies in the third dimension and go to a higher frequency state and level, where the experience is a life review with our divine consciousness. Now, I studied near-death experience when it was being, you know, ascertained primarily by Dr. Raymond Moody many years ago. And because I studied parapsychology courses that only became accredited after I left school. But
wow, nice. Pioneer.
I got credit, but finally. But here's the thing. She's saying that these life reviews have been going on for people in, of course, our dream time. And some people are aware of them to a certain degree. And some are not aware at all. But one thing is happening pretty broadly for everyone, and that is between winter solstice, the end of last year, and the beginning of this year, people have been going through enormous changes. I mean, I moved. Let me tell you, that was an enormous freaking, you know,
undertaking.
Yes, yeah. And it was stressful, very, very stressful. That's another part of it. Of course. But she said that we go through this. This is part of the ascension process, that we go through this life review now. We've gone through it. And we're basically grounding the lessons that we gathered at that time. Well, you know, if we're grounding lessons, the transmigration of the soul is an unnecessary event at the end of our lives. And do you know what I'm saying? Three days of darkness where we went and we sat and we assessed what this life has achieved or not achieved and where we stand. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure, because I remember in those days with the 8 minutes of, you know, the clearest alignment with the new energy, as I understand it, it was to listen for a message and obviously, or to listen to whatever is said. And I would believe that whatever you wrote or heard is a marker for where you were at that time. And then you can either make some adjustments. It's all adjustments, but depending on if you have to make big adjustments or more, not cerebral, but sort of higher adjustments. I mean, you know what I mean by that? Like getting yourself in alignment with your highest vibration. Yeah, being happy and calm and relaxed, those things. I mean, minor adjustments. They're huge adjustments. But you know, you're not going out and moving around physically to make those adjustments happen. So I think with that review, you know, that's a point where you see where you were, where you want to go, and where you're at. And now, usually with winter, there is this idea of, okay, I'm coming out soon in the spring. I mean, it's just going to be more pleasant outside, especially if you live on the East Coast.
Well,
so you're...
Yeah.
You're used to this cycle of, okay, it's time for me to prepare myself to step back out, you know.
Well, you know, that's the point. She's saying that, you know, this first trimester has been about that life review process and where we've been sort of digesting it for this first trimester, if you will, between winter solstice and the equinox, vernal equinox that we just went through. And basically, right now, what's happened is that we're reuniting the aspects of self with the higher self filtering or divine consciousness that we experience on that level. Now, I'm having a problem describing this simply because I'm not fully conscious of tapping that. And basically, whenever I go through something like that, I come back with some kind of confirmation. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm not quite sure, although I'm also sure that I need to digest the information fuller. And I have gone through a lot of the physical things that she talks about. And so perhaps my problem is I have not asked for my confirmation. I do find this very valid information, though.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a phase of, we're into the start of that second trimester now, where we're in a phase of alchemical ascension, phase of reuniting the aspects of self with greater self and higher self, which naturally produces a very different individual that is unified with themselves and the mother and father and sacred child of the self, or an individual triality again, is how she puts this. And again, I would instruct people who are listening to go over and check this information out over at Denise LeFay, and that's LeFay, .wordpress.com. It's called Transitions. If you just Google Transitions blog, you will find her. This is very interesting, informative, and helpful stuff. It really is. It's difficult and confusing for lots of folks.
I'm thinking about what Abraham says about the cork rising. Really, all you need to do is let go of those things that are holding it down so that it can pop back up. I think it's really that simple, quote unquote, even though it takes work. So I think all the work that we and so many have been doing to raise their vibration in whatever way that means, usually less worry about money, less worry about whatever it is, and more acceptance, more living in the now, more of allowing that vibration of the whole world to come in and not and to work with it so that it's not overwhelming, that you're tuning in on these frequencies, kind of like playing around on a piano or any kind of instrument, seeing what kind of sounds you get out of these things. I really think that's a lot of what she's talking about.
Well, you make some sense there. Heart to heart with our highest self or our divine consciousness and a life review is pretty overall soul review. And this is what she goes on to in her, she just posted again, and it's sort of a refinement of the last blog installment that she had. And what she's saying is that the next phase that we're going through right now is rather complex, very large, and it's more than words can really say. It's a process completely free of all emotions, too. Incarnate human emotions such as fear, fear of more pain, fear of loss, fear. That's just a stroll through the astral plane right there is what she's talking about. Yeah. and honey, that's my territory.
I mean, that's
humanity territory. People don't realize how much of their life is played out. You know, we're these physical beings walking on a planet that's, you know, a physical planet, beautiful planet, wonderful invitation to do nothing but enjoy and play. And yet we have this astral plane dynamic. We go to create little stories of fear and, you know, war and I want what you got. You can't have what I have. And the myth, the personal myth territory, which is also, let me say, a wonderful place. And it's where we do our healing work. It's also very dynamic in dream work, all kinds of stuff. The astral plane is humanity's playground of supernatural. It really is. It's all that stuff that H.P. Lovecraft created. All that stuff that writers or word processors typing up and slipping into a studio so the boys in the Impala on a show go and play it out. All that stuff is occurring on the astral, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's all very real, and it's the place that any good practitioner knows you go to do your healing work. It's also the place you go to do your ceremonial and ritual work. It's the place you go to it's between worlds. It's where you go to make all of the different changes that you're going to bring back down. So basically, and I was getting that from the information in the last one. You know, and so now she's posted another one more piece, which is the recent one that was posted yesterday. And she says that all of this has occurred, you know, the meeting with the higher self, the heart-to-heart there and everything, is part and parcel traversing. I said that right, didn't I?
Bless you.
The astral. And what we're doing right now, and this is why people are having energetic hoo-has, is that we're going through checkpoints, like going through airports and entering different countries. And this is how she's describing it, and this is why we are having, you know, we are basically going back and forth through several dimensions, and I don't know if I'm getting the point that she's trying to make completely. I do know this, though. What she is saying is that we're freely traveling between dimensions, and it's up to us to recognize it.
Wow, traveling through dimensions, and it's up to us to recognize it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a tall order, isn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like sometimes I feel it when I'm going definitely to a different dimension, and sometimes to parallel, like I'm shifting my universes or something, and who knows, but it feels like that. It feels like there's this energetic thing going on.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying these things. It's something that she writes about in the end of her blog. Light beings who are very close to us right now, interdimensionally, who are just sort of up there going, wow, this is cool. Do you guys get it? Yeah, well, hand me a flashlight. Hand me a flashlight. I'm not being purposely dense. I'm really dense. Okay. It's very true. This I will say, though. I mean, I know that I've recognized moments of fourth dimensional or what I would call astral recognition, where I realize that, hey, wait a minute, this is like real and this is not real. It's not the same reality I would describe if I was standing over there. Does that make any sense to you?
That makes total sense to me. I'm so glad, because when I said the first thing, you know, I wasn't sure how it comes up. But I guess if you've experienced it, you know exactly what we're talking about.
Well, we could be confusing a bunch of people too. But
true. Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. But
We're not trying to be obtuse with folks. Basically, no. I think maybe an overall rundown would be good. It's like, okay, so many folks within the metaphysical, spiritual, cultured end of the community who have been working for so many years on the ascended process or ascension process, which really boils down to the evolution of consciousness within humanity, from my point of view, and that is my personal opinion, is basically going on right now with hope. And as all things happen, nothing happens in a vacuum. There is action and reaction, and the action has been cosmic that triggered this. And it's, did you notice that we're getting sunspots like you wouldn't believe?
Yeah, my cell phone couldn't find itself for like 2 minutes, like searching.
Yeah.
Ago. I was like, hello, Mr. Sun.
There's been that kind of thing. My I have broadband cable access for my internet, and while I realize that Comcast could be squeezing my bandwidth to get me to buy a new super duper faster broadband, you know, motherfuckers. Anyway, I do realize, though, that broadband is going to be very quick. It's the quickest. It's quicker than the plug-in stuff that's really great anyway. But, and yet, it's lagging. It's and I thought, well, first, it's just a personal attack on my patience is what it is. I thought.
That's how you see it. You're like, listen.
Mofo. But basically, really, there's been a lot of interference because of planetary adjustments. We just came out of all water, Pisces, and a bunch of hod or fingers of God alignments. And we've come into a new series of them with this full moon last night that are all Aries. You know, it's like marshal your resources, get underway, you know, ram.
Ram away. Yes, I can understand that.
Well, being Aries, I guess you could.
Yes. What are the fingers of God you were talking about?
Hod. It's a hod alignment that is part of, I think it's sidereal, astrological configuration, and I'm not an astrologer. I only know the information as I listen and digest it from really good astrologers like Kite Patcha, Tom. Oh, I can't think of his last name. I keep up to date with what's posted by like Flash Silver Moon. Mm-hmm. I keep up to date with Joni Ross's monthly. She gives a lunar forecast. Kay Pacha, he and between him and Flash, and then I go over to Mountain Astrologer. I keep looking at all these things because I too get, you know, messed around with energy and wonder, hey, what's going on here?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That perspective is very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, yeah, to be able to look at, okay, these are gigantic planets in my universe, and they're going through X, Y, and Z, so my planet's going through it, so why would I think that I and everything around me is not also going through it?
Right. We are all connected, so mm-hmm. that all connection, that we are one connection is something of huge value right now. And you know mm-hmm. what? Paying attention to all these things has been a period of years where, you know, this is where you've focused, you've trained yourself to pay attention to certain things, you have a minor education and some a greater education and others, like for me, the sense and the cultures are more in focus and the stories that our ancestors gave us to, you know, work with certain tools right now. And then along the way, you have the astrology, the astronomy. There's also cosmology. There's all kinds of things going on. I do not know what's going to happen with the crop circles this year. But isn't that a strange phenomenon that's been going on for about 20-something years? Of course, it's gone on longer than that, but it's been full-fledged for 20-something years, and there's all these geometries now that are out there. And we've deciphered most of them, And how are we working with them? How are we using them? And they're still arguing about where this is coming from.
Right. Well, that's just so that we, you know, to run in circles, the idea. Think about where and who. That's like, you know, great, and getting great information from one of your guides, and all you can stick to is asking what their name is, you know, or where you're from or whatever. Just, okay, listen to the information. You know, that stuff will come.
Well, and another thing that, another thing that is a lot of channelers are talking about right now is that those non-physical beings of light from different dimensions are really there for us. And I'm not hearing as much information from those directions as I used to. And I keep thinking that I'm not paying attention to the correct language anymore. The language has changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Incoming is not the same as it was. Today,
right.
No, it was yesterday. Yesterday, I was sitting here, and all of a sudden, I just heard myself singing.
Wow.
You know, and I was singing a song that only one person in the whole world I ever knew liked, actually loved it. And you would smile because you told me to get in touch with this spirit anyways. But all of a sudden I'm sitting here and I finally went, well, what the heck? Well, hey there, what are you stopping in for? You know, there are. I guess we're being challenged to redefine our communication subtly, too. Maybe that's the point here.
Wow, well said.
The light beings are, and I'm taking this off the blog here, too. Light beings are hovering overhead while simultaneously certain physical humans kill, which they have or try, or she's talking about how polarized and extreme things are going to be for the next few months. And she's saying that these non-physical beings of light are there for us to help, you know, I would say, midwife us through.
Mm-hmm.
But you were talking about, I know I brought that in too abruptly. I should have put that in a little more subtly. But, you know, and this is something I feel too, I could relate to her on this. She obviously lives in a large city where she can hear gunshots occasionally in her neighborhood or on the street.
Mm.
And she's very aware of the violence that's going on around her. And yet she's not being affected by it the way she used to be.
Mm. Wow.
Now,
yeah.
I have to agree with that. I have actually felt the violence very close and yet not threatening me either because I'm not choosing to allow it to. No,
yeah,
I mean that quite seriously. I mean,
sure, I know. It's
go ahead.
Yeah, it's the same thing as, you know, living here in the heart of Babylon, you know, with Wall Street just right down the street.
Right.
And the cop, you know, siren parade, like, hey, look at us, we're here. And it used to make me feel them more. I was like, oh, wow, they're all, but then now it's just part of I think of them as Christmas bells, really. Christmas, because enough with the Christmas, just bells, really.
I think what we're being shown here is that, and it's like we've all been saying, and you've reminded me several times too, you know, you have to be careful how you think anymore, because we manifest, and it's about practice makes perfect, and feeling it, and feeling truth through our heart, filtering it that way. All of these things are coming to bear now. And what I think these blogs are importantly saying is that basically we've gone through even if, you know, unconsciously, we have gone through an incredible shift, and it's coming down through our different bodies of consciousness until it hits the, you know, the big being, the physical or the conscious consciousness. Is that a better way of saying that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's us raising ourselves and being able to hear ourselves better. So when there's less chatter of the duality talk that happens in our head, then you can hear yourself better. And then that little voice, or however the little voice inside you or that you hear or your guides that you have been able to speak with, now you're speaking to them from a different frequency. So you're learning how to communicate with yourself, and then you're looking to listen to your guides who are now going to speak to you a little differently. And so it's all this journey towards everything working together. But I think we have to be very flexible, it seems. We have to be all right with, okay, you know, when you're a freshman, you get treated like this, and this is your study. But when you're a junior, it's a different ball game, and certain things are the language that's used in the classroom. You would have never understood in your first year, but if you didn't get the first year, you're not going to understand the third year.
Okay.
And the third year takes you a minute to be able to go, okay, now let me grasp this, really, this concept, because it's not 101. So I think that in between this equilibrium, and we have to be okay with that and go, listen, I don't know, A, what's going on right now, or B, what my guys are saying to me, or blah, 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 and that's okay. I'm going to relax, and then and I'll hear it when I need to hear it. That's where that trust comes in once again, doesn't it?
That's good. And it's about trusting. It's also about opening up to your guides, and maybe we should talk a little bit about that. Before we do, I'd like to do a little promotional piece here. Our friends, the group Tuatha Dea, they have a Kickstarter program going on, and I'm going to let you folks out there listening hear all about it, because they need help. It's a wonderful community project that they're getting ready to do. Create a CD with Wendy Rule and Spiral Rhythm. Let me let them tell you about it.
I'm the master.
Hi, I'm Rebecca.
Hi, I'm Sophia.
Hey, I'm Kay.
I'm Chris, man.
Hi, I'm Adam.
And we're Tuatha Dea. We want to say thank you to the community for letting our tribe be part of your...
Being able to work with Tuatha Dea on this new project, it's been a really wonderful experience, and we'd really love to share that with everybody.
We didn't start out intending on being a band. Started out as a drum circle in my dad's living room, actually. We're making this video today to reach out to our community, the people who have embraced us.
It would be nothing without the community. It's the community building aspects of the drum that I think sets our music apart. It was this amazing catalyst that crossed all these barriers. It crossed age barriers, gender barriers, perspective barriers, and we saw that transfer into community when we took it outside my living room.
Up to this point, the fans of Tuatha Dea have really pushed us to become more than what we initially started as, and you can help us push this project out and be just as big a part of it as we have been.
We do need your help.
We do need the rest of our tribe, the community out there, the people that supported us up to this point, and we ask you for a little bit more support.
We want to give you something that means something so dear to us.
The project, again, is contingent upon you, our friends, our fans, our family. We're not asking for something for nothing. Particular levels of assistance with this project, we want to make sure people get something substantive, and that includes things like this. Tuatha Dea has a tremendous number of actual African djembes. So we want to include stuff like that, like this Ghana djembe,
digital downloads of the CD,
T-shirts, actual signed copy of the CD.
Actual facilitation and performances by the band. I want to draw the attention back to the guests that are going to come in and help make this project possible.
Awesome artists like Wendy Rule, Celia, Dave the Bard, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and Spinal Rhythm have all offered their musical talent to be a part of this project. We're very excited to bring a brand new product to you that encompasses the idea of a tribe for us.
Love those guys. Nice to hear their voices again.
They are great. And that's Tuatha Dea. And you can find them on the net by just TuathaDea. Just punch it in there and find their Kickstarter project. I mean, you know, $5, $10, $100, whatever you can do. It's about community, folks. So please go find them, you know, and listen to their stuff. So you can find them on YouTube, you can find them on their site, and it's just wonderful stuff. More and more, you see independent artists like this who are groups that just got together to make the music to raise the spirit and have become, you know, in demand so much that this has become their life. They love what they do. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's really wonderful.
Yeah. Building it because you love it.
Yeah. And so, and speaking of guidance and sharing, pardon me, one of the things that we were talking about prior to the promo there, and we're working on the last 10 minutes, is I think it'd be a really great idea if we gave people a few hints on how they might be able to connect with their guides. Some simple, simple ways, like surrounding themselves with white light and asking for guidance to make itself known with protection, with, you know, all good intentions, nothing untoward. Do I make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. As well as once you ask the question, to shut up so you can hear the answer. That's helpful.
No chatter.
Right. As well as what helps me is, you know, if I want to talk to somebody specifically, one of my guides or angels, I picture their vibration. Because, of course, the myths and archetypes are there so that we fully understand the vibration of the being that we are feel connected to. So, and then once you do that, just like you can picture your best friend's vibration, you know what they feel like, even if they're not sitting right in front of you, and tune into that vibration and start a conversation as if you're making a phone call. And you'll see sometimes, you know, when you're truly kind of saying what you think they're going to say, which is, but you do know when you're getting the information, even if you might be kind of getting in the way, you do know the difference with practice, which one's which.
Yeah, it does. It really is a practice makes perfect situation. One of the most wonderful and useful books I ever came across was a little paperback written by a guy who turned out to be a really fine teacher and a good friend too, Ted Andrews, and it's called How to Meet and Work with Your Spirit Guides. It's just a little paperback, and I know people who pick it up at used bookstores, and you can still get it from Llewellyn Books. I'm sure Amazon has it, and, you know, Amazon, well, wait a minute now. I'm boycotting Amazon right now, so we're going to take back Amazon. Go to your little local book dealer.
There you go. How about that?
Ask them to get it for you. Put the effort out. Make the strain for the gain there. Screw Amazon. I can't for the life of me remember the reason right now, but I think it has to do with them giving information to the CIA on all of us who buy from them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, eat it up, bitch.
They're like, take it, stab, stab, stab.
Well, and here's the thing. Here's the wonderful thing. You know, it's like we go into our meetings for collaboration and the collective we're putting together a network that you and I are both a part of, the Commons Project Network. We go into hangouts and speak about these things, and the guys are always like, well, we got to make use of the net while we can, because, you know, they're going to lock it down. And I think the cat's out of the bag myself. I do not think that they're going to be able, and look at what they would do to commerce. All commerce would stop.
Yeah.
Because no matter what you think, the little businesses matter. The larger picture, and those one percenters know that. They know without the ground floor network, they aren't going to make it either. So, you know, but rules and regulations, bah, humbug, betches. Well, and then they'll stink and match it. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. But the guidebook, you were saying.
Well, the guidebook is, I went off on a tangent there. The guidebook is how to meet.
It's not like
work.
You do a political show or anything. It is going to creep in sometimes.
Dear goodness. Yeah. Jeez. Okay, you got me, guys. Anyway, it's how to meet work with your spirit guides, and you can find it at just about any metaphysical or new age store, and there's a lot of them still out there that sell many great books, and they are focused with good stuff. You don't have to Borders and the other large bookstores, Barnes & Noble and such, might have it themselves, but you just never know. You just never know.
And the other thing I would add for talking to your spirit guides is very helpful to get out of your own way. So however you can meditate or listen to some music or anything to get yourself outside of the chatter of your head.
Busy thought.
That's the place where you'll hear all the guidance. So if you're not hearing anything and you're doing everything that we're talking about, start with that. Start with how to quiet your mind, even just a little bit. I mean, you know, we all have a monkey in there, every single one of us. It's just a matter of how we deal with him and coexist with it, you know?
Absolutely. I'm having mic trouble because my little friend is barking. my little guy is barking. Don't you dare. We only have like a few minutes left here.
Cool.
So do you have any announcements? Next week, our guests are going to be the astrologer, Joni Ross, and the author, Vila Spiderhawk.
Nice.
And Vila is going to be talking about her new vegetarian cookbook, all done in character. In other words, she does wonderful cookbook, okay, right? You're reading a chapter, and you get various recipes given to you as a part of a little story that she's writing about ladies, you know, and their adventures in the kitchen.
Awesome.
It is
awesome.
Pretty cool. It's a whole adventure, the whole book, from start to finish. So,
yeah.
And Vila will post these online in video. She'll read some of her stories and chapters with a recipe in it, and it's really worth going and finding and seeing.
Cool. Looking forward to that. Oh, and one other announcement is our good friends, Rose, who is a musician with this incredible pipes and guitar licks like you would not believe. He's coming out with a new album April 4th, and it's called Ennui. So,
Ennui. Ooh.
Yes. Yes.
Are we going to get any MP3s to play?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For next week, I'll give you one. So,
okay.
Yeah, so look out for Feroze, Pheroze.com.
And you can find him at Reverb Nation. And you can, and where you can find one or two of his songs for download for free. And tonight, I'd like to remind everybody that this program is sponsored by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Cruise on over. Take a look. We have a lot to offer over there. Also, the I Love Nicole Show.com, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's it until next week. I have a wonderful song by another wonderful artist from New York whose name is just B.Grimm. And you can find his songs for free over at Reverb Nation. Wonderful fella. And the song I'm going to play as we toddle off is it's called Follow Me. It's really good stuff.
Cool. Thanks, Glenn, for a great conversation.
Oh, thank you. Get a little. We're coloring outside the lines a little bit tonight, but you know,
yeah,
hey,
you gotta do it. You gotta do it.
Okay, people. Well, we'll see you next Thursday. Here is B.Grimm with "Follow Me." Find him at Reverb Nation.
I'm sick of cursing, I'm sick of being that person uncertain, participating cause I'm tired of observing, no more driving straight lines, now I'm swerving, I'm about to claim everything that I'm deserving, and ease my pain cause I'm sick of always hurting, I stay working, I can't remain still, I'm always lurking, I gotta let my brain spill, in this notepad, and yes I know that, I might complain but my life ain't really so bad, grew up with no dad, and when I met his ass, all he did was make it easy to forget his ass, but no apologies, no one needs to bother me, I'll just avoid a situation if it bothers me, I know there's gotta be a better way to make it by, because I'm sick of living life like I was born to die, follow me, as I move toward the light, into the edge of the darkness, for the end of my life, follow me, as I move toward the light, into the edge of the darkness, for the end of my life, so the end of my pain will be synonymous, with the end of my life it's so obvious, but you're oblivious, you don't know what drama is, I'm like a master, the rest of y'all are novices, I stand alone, I don't need no accomplices, so keep your lies, I'm so sick of empty promises, the least favorite of my mama's kids, so how in the hell am I supposed to have confidence, in the same skin that I remain in, if you hear somebody laughing, no it ain't him, because I stay grim, it's more than just a name, my body's dumber than if I injected Novocaine, into an open vein, and no I'm not insane, well maybe crazy but it's probably just a rotten brain, so I can't stop the pain, I often wonder why, if I hate living, why the hell am I so scared to die, follow me, as I move toward the light, into the edge of the darkness, for the end of my life, follow me, as I move toward the light, into the edge of the darkness, for the end of my life, I'm sick of being lost but nobody found me, I'm sick of hating everybody around me, I always feel this anger surrounding me, I can't imagine my life with no boundaries, I'm bound to be pissed off for eternity, for wasting my time chasing a game that ain't deserving me, I certainly know exactly what it feels like, to be the biggest disappointment in my real life, my wife and kids looking at me like I'm just a joke, because I'm earning just enough to always keep them broke, there ain't no hope living paycheck to smaller check, my money's spent and I feel like I haven't saw it yet, but the government just gotta get their claws in it, yo what's the difference, they might as well take all of it, because it's time for me to leave and I ain't sold it.